WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, here we are. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Wes Moss here on a Sunday, as we always are, to take your calls and your questions. Just hanging out here in the studio with Luke Moss, who's trying to drag a chair around as he writes a weather report. Ryan Ely, here to answer your phone calls and your questions. There's a voice crack. So I'm just happy to have my voice today. I thought I was starting to lose it midweek, but here we are. As a dad of four kids, and if you remember what this is like when you had kids, and they all are at different schools. And I think that's what is hitting our house. We've got all different kids at different schools. So they all have their own separate cesspools of disease and germs. And they bring them home separately, creating this web. And it's just been one thing after the other. But luckily, I've been able to escape most of that, knock on wood. And I'm here with you this morning, voice and all. What are we talking about today? 2018, this week, Chuck Schumer, Bernie Sanders, they had a huge week. They're so excited because they want a wealth tax. They want to just tax you if you have money. That's not just income. We're talking, hey, if you have money, they want to just tax it at a certain rate that they pick. And then they want a 70% income tax. 70. They want to take $7 out of every 10. You make 10 bucks, 7 goes to the government if you're really wealthy, right? So how scary is that? I don't care what income range it is, whether it's for the people that make a million or supposedly 10 million or 100 million a year, that's socialism. And they want to tell companies, here's the other thought, they want to tell companies in America what they're allowed to do with their profits. No more stock buybacks. Hey, we want to control what you do with your profits. Not just people, but we want to control companies at the same time. Stock buybacks, can't do them unless you meet our certain criteria. That's the movement right now in Washington. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. But in the next 2 hours, the real data about outliving your retirement savings, there's this drumbeat that nobody has enough money, or so few people have enough money. And those that do have enough money, you can barely spend it. Remember the 4% rule? Well, we have a new verdict on the 4% rule. We talked about this last year, and it's funny because it's this amazingly simple rule on the surface, but there's kind of a lot to it. And I'm always reminded by this as I'm actually sitting down and doing planning with folks, and they're talking about how much they can spend of the nest egg, and they hear, well, don't people outlive their money? And then what's this whole 4% rule thing that you talk about? How does that rule work? Does that mean we can take the same amount? What about inflation? How am I supposed to invest that money? Is it just sitting there and I take the 4? We're going to talk about updated data on the 4% rule. So how you do not run out of money. We're going to talk about some of the guidelines. We call it the Buffett rule, the Buffett zone, and the danger zone when it comes to how much money you're pulling from your nest egg. And then the real data. So there's a study out that talks about from EBRI that talks about what percentage of folks really do spend down their money, and when does it really get scary? So lots of cover today here on Money Matters. Ryan Ely is here in the studio and answering phones. So we want to answer your questions too. If you think about what's happening in the world and you're thinking about, even though I know it's a kind of cold, rainy day and you may not want to really think about money, but just put your money cap on for the next 2 hours and let's do some planning together. Here, what would you call Money Matters about? What are you going to call us here? Well, here are some of the biggest questions that are on the mind of investors right now. By the way, I had a conversation with someone from, I guess I can say this. I would have thought over all these years I would have heard this before. But we talk about corporate downsizing all the time here on Money Matters. Because when your company is giving you an offer or a package, you typically have to make some pretty serious decisions, whether they say, well, you have a job, but you have to move to Texas to do it, or you've got to move to California to do it. And if you don't move, or if you don't raise your hand to move 3,000 miles away, uproot your family, sell your house, the whole deal, then we're sorry, you're going to be no longer with us. Now, what do they call that, right? Is that a forced layoff? Is that a downsize? There's a company here, it's a massive company, that calls it surplused. If you can't, we are a little full, and we're ready for you to go. And if you don't take this quote package, or you don't move with us under our wishes, you are what we call surplused. Have you ever, if you're at this company, and I guess you can call, well, I'll tell you the company, it's AT&T. And we've been dealing with AT&T layoffs in this city for 20 years now. It happens every year, all the way back to the Bell South days. It still happens every year. But I did not know until this week that AT&T calls downsizing and letting people go, getting rid of people, cleaning people out. They call it surplusing. Is that not an unbelievable counterintuitive? Here, guys, we're going through a great surplusing. It sounds great. We're going to go through surplusing. Well, that means we have a surplus of money and we're going to spread that around. It's a surplus of good things. No. Oh, it's funny. No. It's a surplus of you. There's too many of you. We have a surplus of people that work here. So we're going to correct the surplus. And that means getting rid of you, and it means you're surplused. How is that not the most corporate crap you have ever heard in the history of the world? It's the first time I've heard a word that I hate more than the word synergize. We're going to have synergies here, and we're going to lay off half the folks. Synergies. Well, really, now the new word that's even worse than that, it's called surplused. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. So if you're being surplused, which is supposed to be a good thing, a lot of things happen. Now, whatever your company calls it, it's the same thing. It means it's time for you to move on. There's too many of you. We have younger people that will take less than you, that don't have three kids and two dogs and a mortgage, and we can afford them. We can't afford you. We don't have a surplus of money to pay you. So what happens? Well, you have typically this question. It says, my employer has offered to start my pension early. Again, another great way to say it. I've offered to start my pension early. They want to give me $1,000 a month for life. 50% of that goes to my spouse if I pass away, or a lump sum of about $250,000. Which way is the best to go? This is the classic question of, we call this lump sum versus pension. Lump sum, whether you choose to take this on the left or on the right, a pension, which is a monthly amount, which is a better deal? Does it meet the 6% test? So that's a question that can go in enormously, kind of an infinite directions. And if you're faced with that sort of decision, a lump sum or a pension, you have to bring into consideration your age, your spouse's age, your longevity, all these different things, your other assets, your rate of return. So those are complicated questions to answer. We do them here all the time. Almost every day I'm helping somebody work through the math on a lump sum versus pension. So if you have a lump sum versus pension question here because of a surplusing, then we really would be happy to help you through that and help you make sure you're thinking about all the things you need to be thinking about during this time of question. What do you do when it comes to having more of an income-oriented strategy? What are the specifics? What are the specifics to do this? I want my money to start generating a steady cash flow. I don't want to go buy an annuity. I don't want to stick it in a CD. What's kind of in the middle? What's an income strategy? We'll talk about that and help you with that. How about this question? Is it reasonable? Is it a reasonable, or what is a reasonable rate of return that I can expect once I stop saving to keep my principal intact? Maybe that relates back to this withdrawal question of the 4% rule. So these are all the things that you can call us about here today, and anything else that comes to mind that you have been wondering about or seeking answers to. We're here to be an objective third-party opinion. Maybe you're discussing with your spouse, We'll weigh in on that and give you another opinion. So call us here in the studio. Phone lines are open here this morning. Ryan Ely here to take your call calls and patch them through. The number here, 404-872-0750 is the number here. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK if you're in Texas or California or maybe you're just headed somewhere and you're in the Northeast or wherever that may be, or snowed in the Great West, the number here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK on your smartphone. So Ryan's telling me it's already time to go to the phones here. Let me see if I'm not doing something right. Hold on one second here. What's this? I'm having a little technical difficulty on the phone, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to take these calls here, Ryan, even though I said let's do it. Deborah from Ackworth, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wow, it does work. Good morning. What's going on? How can we help? What's happening?
Well, I've just recently retired, and I have a Roth IRA.
A Roth IRA, not a Roth 401k.
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct. I may have told the screen caller the wrong thing, but it's a Roth IRA.
Got it.
And I wondered, I have a financial advisor, and I have... Yeah, you know, I have some money coming in during retirement and everything, and I was wondering if I could contribute to it, and he told me I could not.
That's likely because you're making too much money is probably the issue. Remember, the Roth IRA has an income limitation. Now, tell me about when you file your taxes, are you married? Are you married filing jointly? Are you single? How do you do your, when you're doing your taxes, what is your AGI?
We married filing jointly.
Got it.
We actually have it figured both ways each time we file taxes. So whichever way benefits us most is how we file. But usually it's married filing jointly.
Okay. So if you're single and your modified adjusted gross income has to be under 135 grand to contribute to Roth.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, that's if you're single and if you're married less than... Think of it as anywhere from, call it 189 and lower. So it's kind of a phased out from 189,000 to 200,000. Actually, the numbers for this year are a little bit higher. So for singles, it's under 137,000. These are the new rules for 2019. Mm-hmm. So think of 122 to 137,000. So if you're listening, you're thinking, hey, I should maybe do a Roth. You've got to remember, if you're getting to that $120,000 level, you're starting to bump up on a zone. This is what makes it a little complicated, where you're not allowed to do that. If you're married, it's about $193,000 is where the zone starts. Hey, we've got to go to a break. Okay. Hang on. I didn't even get your question, Deborah. Hang on a second here.
Okay.
Hang on. All right. And we've got to run to a quick news, weather, traffic. Well, just news, weather. And your Money Matters will return. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I don't know if we finished all of our questions. Or Deborah, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
I don't know if we even got to the rest of your question. I know we were talking about a Roth contribution, and your financial advisor said you can't contribute. But really, you are with your work. Are you working or are you retired?
No, I am retired. I start drawing Social Security this month. And I have a small pension coming in. And when I start drawing my Social Security, I'll have probably about $25,000 to $3,000 a month coming in.
Okay. So there are a couple different things here. When you have earned income, you can do a Roth IRA. This year, 2019, the limit's up to $6,000. It was $5,500 last year. Now you can put $6,000 in for each individual. So you can do that. Your husband can do that if. You've got earned income. It sounds like if you're retired, even though you might have a pension and you have Social Security, you have income, but it has to be think of it as wage income. You got to be working and have enough income to be able to do the Roth. So that's probably why he said you can't contribute this year, because you have to have earned income in order to contribute to a Roth. Got it?
Oh,
that's
why. Okay.
Well, you're in good shape, young lady. You're in great shape.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We're completely debt-free, including the house. And I do have an IRA that I don't need right now, so I'm just leaving it alone.
These sound like all the good problems you can have. Hey,
I know.
You're retired. And the mortgage is paid off. That is like one of the number one traits of a happy retiree is to have no mortgage. As years to pay off mortgage go down, light at the end of the tunnel, no more debt on the mortgage, happiness goes up. It's part of empirical research. So good morning. You're listening to Money Matters. Deborah, thank you for the call. More Money Matters straight ahead right after news, weather, traffic right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Never a dull day. Even if it's cold and rainy outside, there's something happening here in the studio. It's bright and sunny. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ely alongside and to answer your calls and questions. Luke Moss here. He might even do the weather at some point today. So good morning. It is our Sunday mornings here are so much fun. And your calls are the best part of the show. So we've been talking today. We just talked to Deborah about a Roth question, Roth IRA. What can she do now that she's in retirement? The answer is you got to have some earned income in order to put money into a Roth. And today we're going to be talking about the 4% rule and update on that. There's also a study about outliving your retirement savings. There's a study about do people really draw down everything that they have saved or not? And then, of course, I want to get to this Chuck Schumer piece that there was an op-ed this week or some sort of proposal, which is just going to make you just so angry when I go through what they want to do. We're talking 70% income tax, a regular wealth tax just on the money you already have. They want to tell corporations what they can do and how they can spend their money, whether they can buy back stock or not. It's just an amazing amount of oversight and government. And I don't know if it's socialism or communism, but it's something in that order, and you're not going to like it, but we're going to get to it. In the meantime, we're going to go to the phones here. The number here in the studio, whether you're asking about a pension or lump sum, or about income investing, or how much you can expect when you're doing your planning, how much can you really save? Anything that relates back to your money and your assets, and what is a smarter way to go, then we are here to try to give you at least our objective opinion on doing so. So phone lines are open this morning. We're excited to take your calls. The number here, 404-872. So 404-872-0750 is the number again. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK, which is 800-972-8255. We're going right to Gary in Lawrenceville. Gary, what can we do to help?
Well, I have a situation here. I know you have a lot of expertise. I'm retired. My wife and I were in our early 70s. And we have no bills, but we're just modest folks, live in a small home by probably many standards, and we have about probably three times the income than what we need. Now, my question is, to keep this simple, I have about $1 million in cash, and I have three children. I don't need the money. What would be the right thing to do with this? I would love to leave it to my three children, and I have a couple grandchildren that are disabled. What would be the right thing to do with this cash? I'm scared to death of the stock market. I do have some stocks, but not a lot of exposure. Should I just keep it?
So Gary, so let's go down the, if you think about who do we need to take care of, we've got it first in line is you guys, you and your wife, right? And that sounds like that's totally taken care of. You're spending because you probably owe nothing. You just don't have a lot of monthly outlay, and that's totally covered by what, Social Security, and do you have a pension too?
Correct, yeah, we have several of them.
Okay, so you've got all these different income sources, no debt, you guys are totally taken care of, and that's without having to really even participate. You don't have to, you're not even in the stock market or the bond market, or maybe just a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit in stocks.
And then so then let's go to the next group to take care of, which should be your kids, and they are adult children. Are they off all on their own, working, self-sufficient, everyone's doing okay?
They are doing they're doing pretty well. I would have to say that, yeah.
Pretty well.
And well, they're doing fine. They're not having any problems, let's put it that way.
Oh, all right. And then the grandkids, though, you mentioned something about they may have there's some disabilities there, and they may have some special needs?
I do have two autistic grandchildren. One is extremely bad, and the other one is slightly so, but they're not. They're probably going to need some help.
And about how old are they?
Okay, the one just turned 18. Now and the other one is 8.
8 and 18. And if you guys yet, and this is something that this is what we're going to talk about here, I suspect, have you already set up a special needs trust for those two?
No, I haven't. I just planned on leaving everything to the three children and let their mothers and fathers, who are quite responsible, handle it. That was my line of thinking.
Got it. Which is, it sounds like with your children and they're grown up and they're responsible and they have good jobs, you may not need to do that. However, let's say something happens to them is the issue, right? Let's say you leave them $1 million and everything's great and they're taking care of their children who, let's say your oldest grandchild is now 30, right? And then and then something happens to your kids because they're going to be, you know, in their 60s and 70s, right? But your grandkids have this really long horizon for potentially something that happens to your kids. You got to think about what happens next. So that is probably why I think you should consider some sort of special needs trust, which is a way to put money away for them in a specific way. And the great thing about these special needs trusts is you can draft them or kind of write them however you would like, but it's a way to fund them and you can invest this in some sort of multi-asset class income way where it's going to spit off income every single month that in perpetuity. And that is the key here is that you can set up a special needs trust for them that'll really last arguably for their entire lifetime, even if something happens to the parents. So I think it might make some sense for you to look into a special needs trust. They're going to need money forever. Very, very likely your kids will be around to be able to take care of them. But if something happens to them, you're going to want that money protected and still designated for them. So a little bit of planning here will go a long way. I deal with several different estate planning attorneys in the Atlanta area, even elder care attorneys that think about some of these ideas. But really, I think for you, you're going to want an estate planning attorney that does special needs trust planning. And it's not overly complicated. It's not going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars to do this. You can, for a very reasonable amount of time and money, set something up called a special needs trust that will arguably take care of your two grandchildren in perpetuity. And it doesn't need to be the whole, you had mentioned you've got $1 million and you don't know whether you want to invest it right now or not. But you don't need to put, it can be any amount of money. You can put in $50,000. You can put in $100,000 for each today. And if they don't need it now, think about this, because their parents are fine. The parents are doing well. The parents can take care of them, let's say, for the next 15 years, right?
Uh-huh.
But imagine if you put $100,000 in today for each one. you know, in 10 years from now or 15 years from now, that should be $250,000. And then that starts to really become an income source for them forever. So think of it is that you've got this super long horizon. You're taking care of Gary first, you and your wife, then your kids, because they'll still have other money, and then the grandkids. And if you kind of line all that up and do a little planning, you can take care of the whole family tree in perpetuity. So my call here for you, Gary, would be to talk to an estate planning attorney and explore some sort of special needs trust. So you can email me and the team. I have a couple different folks that you can certainly talk to that I've used for well over a decade, several different firms that are wonderful. You can talk to them, kind of interview them on the phone. It's not going to cost you anything. And then you can decide, hey, who's a good person to help our family set this up? Just go to our website. Go to yourwealth.com, Y-O-U-R-Wealth, yourwealth.com. And contact button, upper right-hand corner, drop down. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan Ely and our team. And we'll get you a list of estate planning attorneys to talk to and somebody that could potentially be a big help in your situation. Gary from Lawrence Hill, thank you for your call. We're going to keep going to the phones here. Again, phone number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750. Let's keep going here to Bill in Barrow County. Bill, what's going on? How can I help?
Hey there. We're my wife and I are both in our early 60s, and I have a small pension. Haven't touched it yet, and she's got some money and in IRAs. And her agent was looking at it and suggested an annuity with, I think it was a 6% guaranteed return. In the past, I've always heard kind of stay away from annuities. What do you think?
Well, I would say in the present, I'd tell you to stay away from annuities as well.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, past and present and future, stay away from annuities. Now, listen, they're not all bad, Bill. Annuities are sometimes, they're painted with a very broad brush, right? It's like saying, All ice cream is good. Well, or all steak is bad, right? Or that's backwards. All ice cream is, it's really about, there's so many different flavors. It is, so some annuities might make some sense. What I find interesting about annuities is that they, on the surface, they all sound perfect. Right? I mean, here we live in a world where 6% sounds great. I mean, remember the stock market, if you can get 7.2% rate of return, Bill, 7.2, this is just math. It's the rule of 72. Your money will double every 10 years, right? If you get a 10% rate of return, your money doubles every 7.2 years. So if you get 6% a year guaranteed, quote guaranteed, then that means your money doubles in what, 12 years? What's the math on that? 72 divided by 6 means in 12 years your money would double. That's a pretty tall order in a world where interest rates are only like 2.5%, right? The 10-year treasury bond, which is the quote risk-free rate. So dig in with me for just a second. What's underneath that annuity? Is it an annuity where you give them the money and then they give you 6%, which is a very different proposition than just guaranteeing you 6%? What kind of annuity is it?
Yeah. I can't really say. We put some money in every year, and then I think at year 6 or 7 or something, so after so many years, we can start taking out a good bit.
Might be a variable annuity you're talking about, or an equity index, or equity index linked annuity.
I should have looked at it first. I should have. Looked it up.
Yeah, I would just say.
I didn't know it's gonna call.
Yeah, would just say be careful on those. They're not all annuities are bad, right? And I think they kind of get this broad brush, like they're this awful product. There's too many different kinds, and some of them really meet a need. I kind of like an annuity that might say, look, I've got different income sources, and I'm a big believer in saying I want you to have many different ways you're going to get your income. I want to see Social Security, pension. I want to see some rental income. I want to see then your investment income from stocks and bonds and alternative asset classes like REITs and pipeline companies. But then you might want to say, you know what? I want another $1,000 a month. In addition to all these income streams from some sort of immediate annuity where you put money aside and then it guarantees you an income stream for the rest of your life and your spouse's life.
Right,
so
right.
So that might be a way to look at it. But typically the investment vehicles that say, you know, you got to have this money in here for six to 10 years before you don't get penalized. As a category, that kind of annuity I don't like. Because there's a lot of other ways to more efficiently invest your money than doing that. So that's my take on it, Bill. They're not all bad, but the one that you're talking about to me sounds like one of those multi-layer, seven-layer dip worth of fees, expensive, 2.5%, 3.5% a year. I don't love them. I'd say continue to look, my friend. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to continue to go to the phones here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. Traffic and weather straight ahead, then to more Money Matters right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning, and we're just going to the phones left and right. I think it's because we've had Ryan wasn't here last week, so I don't know if we took any calls. I don't know. But we've got a lot of great questions today, and we're going, trying to help here on a Sunday morning. So good morning. The number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK is the number here in the studio. Your host here on Money Matters every Sunday morning, Wes Moss, that's me, and the Money Matters team. Let's go to Denise in Marietta. Denise, good morning. What's going on? How can we help?
Hi, Wes. I have a couple of questions for you. I'm a civil service employee, and I'm 64 years old. I'm single, and I'm still working full-time. I have a small mortgage that's about $850 a month, and it'll be paid off in about 8 years. That's the only debt I have.
Good for you. That's not bad. $850 a month. Okay, so it'll be paid off by the time you are 72. That's cool. Okay.
Unless I double up on the payments, which I might be able to do.
All right, we'll talk about that. I like it.
Okay. I earn about $83,000 a year, and I contribute about 7%. To the TSP fund. I have about $275,000 in the TSP, and if I work to 66, I'll have closer to 300.
Sure.
I don't have any stocks or bonds. I know that my TSP annuity will be about, if I took an annuity, it would be about $1,200 a month.
All right. I don't know if I like that for you. $1,200 versus $300,000. I don't know if that's
right. I'm just giving you some information.
Okay, gotcha.
I think I'll go that route. But
I gotcha. Okay, and then what about your pensions? I mean, don't you have a federal pension?
Yes, my Social Security at 66, which will be my full retirement age, is about $2,300.
I like that. Okay.
Then my federal pension, which is my FERS.
Federal Employee Retirement FERS. Got
right.
it.
That's about $2,500 a month.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
And then I will get a small pension from a company that went under from PBGC.
Yep, the Pension Benefit Corp. Yeah.
Guaranteed. That's about, at 66, it's going to be about $375 a month, which I think would take care of any Medicare or medical expenses that I have.
Yeah, that would take care of your Medicare supplemental plan. You're right. So
right.
You've got about $5,100 in income. I guess the question is, what do you do with that TSP? And then how is the TSP, the Thrift Savings Fund, how's that invested? But hold, I hear music. So Denise, hang on 1 minute here. We've got to get through some news, weather, traffic, but you're going to have to stay on the line. Can you do that?
Okay.
Hang on for our listeners and for you. When we come back, we're going to talk to Denise.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. It's a 10 o'clock hour, and we're going to go right back to the phones here. Good morning. The number here in the studio. Before we go back to Denise and Marietta, who has a question about her thrift savings plan, TSP, she's got FERS, which is the Federal Employee Retirement System. That's a pension. She's got Social Security. All these things come together. But then she has a mortgage. When does she pay that off? A couple more years of working. If you have questions, we're going to the phones. So give us a call here in the studio. After we answer Denise, we'll get to you. The number here, 404-872-0750. I feel like we're making up for all the calls we didn't do last weekend. Again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Let's go back to Denise. All right, so Denise, I'm going to refresh real quick. You're putting 7% a year into TSP. That's $275,000. FERS is $2,500. Social Security at 63 is $2,300. And you have a small pension from the PBGC of $375. So if you put it all together, it's a little over $5,000 a month, which sounds pretty darn good to me. Question, what approximately is your spending, what would you like to be spending? Do you kind of have a budget, or do you just kind of know in your head, hey, this is about what we need to spend?
Right now, I'm only spending about $2,000 a month, including the mortgage.
And that mortgage is only about $850 a month?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not digging, I'm saving.
You're saving a ton here.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so what are you going to do in 2 years then? What are you going to do with all this money? I feel like you don't have a gap. I thought you were going to say, hey, Wes, I need $7,000 a month and I'm only bringing in $5,000. You're telling me that you're only spending $2,000 a month now, and that's why you're working and commuting and going all over the place?
Well, I've never had a financial person talk with me, and I want to make sure that I can, I guess my life expectancy is going to be about another 20 years. So I want to make sure that I have enough money to live on till I'm 85 or 86.
All right. So it is scary. Even when you think about these numbers here for a second, Denise, you've been working for your whole life. And by the way, are you married? Or you said you're single, right?
I'm single. I have this is my only income. So it scares me.
It is scary, right? So, I mean, when you're thinking about, hey, in 2 years, do I really just, am I done? Like, do I call it quits? It's a very, very nerve-wracking proposition. It really doesn't matter kind of where you are, whether if you have $200,000, if you've got $5,000 a month in income, because it's not, nothing in the world is guaranteed. There's no such thing as a guarantee on anything, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have faith to some extent in the system. We've got to have faith that FERS pays you forever, right? You got to have faith that Social Security is going to pay you forever. Then you've got this chunk of money, $275,000, let's call it $300,000 by the time you stop working. What do you do with that, right? You already had one company go belly up, and that's why it's covered by the PBGC, which sounds like a cereal, doesn't it? Let's have some PBGC for breakfast. It's really just the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. And I will tell you, I probably half the folks, maybe a third of the folks that I've worked with over all these years, their pension is coming from PBGC because the company they worked for had a pension plan, which is a really tough thing to do in perpetuity. And if the company falls on hard times or they don't fund the pension, then they go belly up and then somebody's got to take over. So that's the PBGC, of course, is just like kind of this insurance policy to pay for you forever. Now, yours is 375, it's not a ton. And that seems as though I could see there. I don't see a problem with that getting paid forever. And I don't see a problem with the federal employee retirement system at all. That's well funded. And mm-hmm. Social Security is in your, we all know that that is underfunded. And I've done, I think the most watched video that I've done, I think on YouTube ever, that it's got over 100,000+ views, is, you know, the question mark about Social Security and going through the math on when it starts to kind of, the surplus that we have, when does that go down to zero and when do we start running into deficit? And it will happen, right? That is going to happen if we don't change the math, basically. So not enough's going in, more is going out. But for somebody, I think in 60 plus, you are not going to have a problem with Social Security, Denise. So you're going to still get your $2,300 if there's a change to Social Security. It's going to be for younger folks that are, let's say, under the age of 50 today as we speak. Their Social Security might get hit. My kids, who knows if they'll have Social Security. But for your age, let's call it 60 plus, I don't see any interruption in service whatsoever. So as I look at this, somebody who's done hundreds and really thousands of plans for different families, and I've seen the unique fingerprint of everyone's if I've done planning for 1,000 folks, there are 1,000 different or unique scenarios. That's what's pretty amazing about when you're in financial services and you're a financial advisor or certified financial planner. It really never gets old because it's always something new. And in your case, same thing. You've got your own fingerprint financially, but I'll tell you that there is tremendous stability with your plan because the three big income sources, well, the two big ones, FERS and Social Security, those are fine. And you're going to actually get some cost of living adjustment with those as well. So that's good, right?
Yes.
Social Security goes up by at least a percentage of what inflation is. And I believe FERS, I think you get some cost of living adjustment on that as well. Depending on what inflation is. I'm not 100% on, you'll have to check on FERS or maybe I'll get a call on that. But I think FERS even gives you a little bit of a COLA as well. The next part of this is your TSP. So that's going to be another $300,000. I look at that and I say, well, another $300,000, Denise, even if you only take 4% a year on that, that's another $1,000 a month right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you could take a pension for $1,200 a month, but if I do my math, I want it to satisfy what's called the 6% test. So I do 1,200 times 12 is 14,400 divided by $300,000, and that is only 4.8%. You can basically pay yourself 5% a year with zero interest for 20 years before the money runs out. So you don't want to take a pension that's only giving you $1,200 a month because all they're really doing for the first 20-some years is giving you back your own money. So with TSP, I'd look at that as the third leg of the stool. FERS is one, Social Security is two. Your TSP then goes into an IRA. And even in a really conservative posture, so let's say you only do 40% in dividend-paying companies and the other 60% in really safe conservative bonds that are paying 2 to 4% a year, plus let's say some real estate investment trusts or some other income areas like the pipeline companies, and you have a small percentage in that, you're talking about a 3.5% to 4% yield just from the income. And then that way, Denise, you've got that cushion over time or potentially into perpetuity so that you always hold on to that cushion of money that you can get to. And I think that will start to alleviate some of your worries here is that, yes, you're going to have plenty of income. You know that $5,000 a month is great. Really, it's scary, though, if you don't have a well to go to, if the air conditioner breaks, right, or the roof needs to be fixed. Yeah, you've got all this income, but what if you need $20,000 all at once, right? That's why that TSP is so important, to not annuitize, but to put into an IRA. So if you really need to get to a big chunk of it, you'll have it. And okay. I think if you think about your overall planning in that respect, three really good income sources are 2.5 for Social Security and a small pension, and then add another full $1,000 a month from the asset that you can then dip into in a larger way. You're talking about 3.5 different income sources. That's a really good plan. Then you also have your mortgage, that $850. What's the rate on that? Is it already a pretty low rate?
Yes, it's 3.75.
Normally, I would say figure out a way to get rid of that mortgage. But, the fact that it's only $850 a month, I don't even know if it's worth paying it off early. You can so afford that. I want to see you keep as much cushion money as you can. So don't worry about – in your particular scenario, it's going to be paid off anyway in 10 years, you said. So, or no, 8 years. You're 64. It's going to be paid off at 72. I say you just keep going per schedule because your rate's so low anyway, and then you'll be totally, totally debt-free at 72. What you've called about is to go over kind of these big pieces of the financial planning equation, and I'm here to tell you that there are enough of these to give you a really solid foundation so that you never really have to – you're not going to be worried about money in retirement at all. You've got enough pieces. There's a security behind each piece. And then you have the collective nature of all of them together so that that I'm not worried about you at all. You're going to be in wonderful, wonderful shape, Denise. And you should have zero worries when it comes time to really do this. So you did good. Now I got to run. You've done well. If you want to talk further, you know where to find me. You can just go to the website and just shoot me an email. Happy to talk this through more, sit down with you, and do some further planning. Our website, of course, just yourwealth.com, Y-O-U-R, wealth, yourwealth.com. Contact tab, those emails come straight to me and Ryan and our team, and we're happy to continue the conversation. You're listening to Money Matters, a quick traffic weather, then more Money Matters. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Sunday morning. And Ryan, where are we going here? We're just going right back to the phones here. Where do you find the show? Well, you're listening to it. You found it. That's where you find it. We just had a caller wonder about the podcast part of this. And that's easy to do. And I know that that's just, you should be able to consume media anywhere, anytime, any way you like it. That is just the reality of media as we move forward into the future. So you can listen on the WSB radio app, no matter where you are on the planet, live, right? So if you're in Seattle right now and our signal doesn't quite reach Seattle, you can just reach the WSB radio app and listen live. For shows of Money Matters and many of our shows, you can, of course, listen to them via podcast. In the case of Money Matters, you just go right to Spotify and you search for Wes Moss Money Matters or Money Matters with Wes Moss. I think it comes up either way. And you can subscribe to it and it'll download once a week. And then once in a while, we'll have a special podcast if something else is happening and we'll do that as well. So you can just find the show anywhere. You can go to iTunes and listen and find the podcast through iTunes. Same thing, Wes Moss Money Matters. Spotify, pretty much any way you can think about finding it. Or you can just go to the website, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, the radio tab, and you can listen that way as well. But most of our shows here on WSB Radio, it's the same thing. You can find it via podcast. We want you to be able to listen through the app. Go back if you miss shows, listen on the podcast. That way you can fast forward. Like if you're listening right now to the podcast, you're like, oh, Wes, I'm just fast forwarding through you. Or you can listen to it at like half speed. You want something funny, listen to Dave Baker's show at half speed. Or maybe Eric Von Hessler. That is humor. It's hilarious. Anyway, you've been listening to Money Matters. We're coming back here where you got more calls. I want to talk about, I still got to get to the 4% rule. The Chuck Schumer call for socialism in America, taxing everyone almost 70 cents on the dollar. Just unbelievable. We're gonna talk through that, and then we'll go answer any more calls. We might have some time for more calls. So stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters, news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, here we are. We're back live. Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. That's what we do here on the Sunday morning. Got Ryan Ealy here in the studio. We even have Luke Moss in here. So we just got the weather forecast from Kirk Mellish, one of my favorite people, and should get like a lifetime achievement award for meteorologist, best meteorologist on the planet. That's really what he should do. Now, we're going to do a micro forecast just for lacrosse practice today for Luke Moss. So Luke Moss with a lacrosse practice weather update, which I think is like from 1 to 3 today. What's the weather going to be, Luke, for your lacrosse?
Fairly miserable. Cold okay. And kind of wet. Only 42 degrees. Cloudy and maybe some sprinkles.
That's for lacrosse today?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll do it. I got you. I'll be out there. I don't know if Coach Carter will be out there, but I'll be out there with you, okay? I don't know what he's doing, but I'll be out there in the fairly miserable 38 degrees right now. Man, high of 42. Anyway, let's go. I think we have time for one more quick call, and then I got to get to Chuck Schumer and the 4% rule and all these things. Where are we going here? We're going to Alan in Cumming. Alan, welcome to the show. Hi. What's up? How can I help?
So, listening to your show on a regular basis, and it sounds like you got a lot of great advice. I'm just curious if I'm on the right track. I think I've done the math, but I'm not sure. And I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to retire and not have to go back to work.
I like it. So let's get some numbers here. You've got how much in savings and how much are you saving per year and how many more years?
So I've got 280K in a 401. I've got about 70K liquid in my bank account. Planning on another 7 years working. I hope that works out. And I'm putting about $40,000 away into that 401k annually.
So let's just do some. And I love doing this on my trusty HP 12E calculator. If you think about, you've got a future value. This is just a present future value calculation, right? You basically have 350 right now. That's the 280 and the 70. So we're at 350,000 today. But you're also saving 40. So that's your present value is your 350. You're saving 40 grand a year, approximately. Then you've got about 7 years. Now, let's get conservative here and just say, let's do 5% a year. Let's say just 5% a year. What's it going to be worth in the future? In 7 years, that'll be worth over 800,000, Alan. And then when you've got the 800,000, right, you're then going to take another 4% a year from that, which is 4% every year plus inflation. That'll be 32 grand in itself. Right. So that what you're currently doing, you're currently saving this 350,000. I'm going to do this one more time to make sure I'm right. Present value, 7 years, 5% a year. What's that worth in 7 years? It's 818,000 to be exact. And then what I'm saying is that once you do that, the 4% rule applies, which I'm going to talk about in a second, which is 32,700 bucks a year. Divided by 12 is $2,700 a month. Alan, you pair that with Social Security, which is another $2,500 probably, and think about it. You've got that another $2,500 on top of that. You've got, well, $2,500 and $2,700. You can do the math, right? You're talking about $5,200 a month. I like it. So just stay on course, my friend. I love what you're doing, and it's going to be some pretty serious income when you get to 67, which is when you're thinking about pulling the trigger. Now, I promise we talk about, I know we have calls, but I got to get to some of this, what I was going to talk about today, which is the wealth tax that they're trying to do. So this is Sanders and Schumer. And then we're going to get to the 4% rule. I got to get to this. Wealth tax. They just want to just, if you've got money, they want to just tax it. Just like, you know, because you have a lot of money, you need to be taxed more. There's proposals on the table, like 2.5%, 3%, just every year of just whatever you have. Then they want to tax high income earners at 70%. $7 out of every 10 you make to the government. Can you imagine that? So I don't know if that's socialism or if that's like just actual communism. I don't know what that is. Then they want to dictate what companies do with their profits. So they're going to say, well, unless you meet certain criteria, you can no longer buy back your stock. What's funny, and so this is another hit against companies. What's funny is that companies are spending their cash. They're investing still. Over the first three quarters of 2018, they pumped their capital spending rose by over $200 billion. At the same time, their buybacks increased by about $191 billion. So, yeah, there's a lot of stock buybacks happening in America, which has been good for company shareholders. Companies make a couple billion in profit. They say, hey, we're going to buy $100 million worth of our own stock. It reduces the shares outstanding. There's less shares, so I can have my earnings per share go up, which is what Wall Street wants to see. And that's what's been happening, and it's been a good thing for stocks. Now, this is a war on the wealthy. How did the wealthy do in 2018? Well, the wealthy got a tax increase due to the limiting of the SALT deduction, which is state and local income tax. Imagine if you're in New York or California and you were a high income earner, you're deducting $100,000 a year from, you know, what you've paid in state taxes, your mortgage, your property tax, all these things. SALT is state and local taxes, right? Well, now that's capped at $10,000. So your deduction, you had $100,000 and it's going all the way down to 10. You just lost 90% of what may have just been your largest deduction. So a lot of those folks, you'll see their taxes may have actually gone up. And then stocks were negative 2018. So virtually every stock category was negative last year, 2018. So what happened to the wealthy? Well, the wealthy really took a hit last year. At the same time, more than 90% Americans, so this is like, let's talk Main Street America, actually got a tax cut. In our office, we call it a case of tax refund euphoria. And I've started to hear it in the last couple of weeks. Hey, I got back $3,000. Hey, I got $5,000 back on my taxes this year from folks. So I think people are just starting to notice what the tax cuts are really doing. Now we're in tax season, you're trying to file your taxes now before the April 15th deadline. And more folks, again, are getting a tax refund, whereas the super, super high income earners may not have. Also, Main Street has been getting raises. Not huge raises, but wages have continued to go higher and higher, up over 3%. Call it 3.25%, almost 3.5% wage increases during 2018. Now, Schumer and Sanders, they want the government to dictate what corporations do with the money that they earn. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, she wants a 70% income tax on income above $10 million. $10 million is a big number. But in a state where the top 1%, in New York, 1% of the population already pays 46% of all the taxes. So the top 1% already pays almost half of all the taxes that state collects. So, of course, none of this goes anywhere as long as there's a Republican Senate like we have now. But there's an election around the corner. And another election coming up in 2020. And we don't do politics here on the show, but we can't ignore politics when there's that big of a financial impact and the tax rates changing that dramatically. I don't see it getting through. I know it kind of makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. 70% taxes, whether it's in your category or not, we just don't want to go down that path in America. I don't like that government overreach because it's going to squash the economy in a lot of ways. And I don't want the government telling companies what they have to do with their profits. What else happened this week? The BB&T SunTrust merger, massive deal. It's now going to create, so you put the two together. And I got a lot of great friends that work at these banks. SunTrust, BB&T, you put them two together, and you're talking about the nation's sixth largest bank or biggest bank. Last year, there were only $28 billion in bank deals total. Fifth Third purchasing MB Financial. That was like the biggest deal of the year. That was only $4.5 billion. The SunTrust deal, SunTrust BB&T, $28 billion. That was as big as all bank mergers in all of back in last year, 2018. So this is a really big deal. It's amazing to me that they don't have a name yet. I love that the name is to be announced. I've been trying to game out what the name would be. I hate to lose the SunTrust name. It's such a good name, but it may be going away. In 1984, there were about 14,000 banks. By 2009, there were 7,000 banks. And as of last quarter, there were about 4,700 banks. 14,000 down to 7,000. Down to 4,700. So we're going to continue to see this consolidation. There hasn't been a lot of it since the financial crisis, but interest rates are low. Banks need, their margins are low. Their technology has to get better and better. So we're going to see more and more and more banking consolidation. Now, the 4% rule, which is another important piece of the equation today, as we did a lot of planning with folks today on the phone. You know, we had a lot of calls that were planning-oriented, and a reoccurring theme here today on the show that you heard, and this happens, and it makes sense because it happens in real life. Almost every conversation I'm having has to do with how much money can you take without running out. And there's so much discord about it. There's so much, I'd say it's a gray area because you hear 4% rule, what does that mean? There was a professor that came out last year, big article in the Wall Street Journal that said you can only take 3% or else you're going to run out of money. I've heard folks calling for 2% and change. At some point, you've got to wonder what's the point of saving if you can only use 2.5% of it anyway, right? There's got to be some happy medium number. And when you do the math historically, where you settle, and this is originally developed by a gentleman named William Bengen, who is a financial planner from MIT. He discovered effectively the 4% rule by looking at what the market did going back into starting the Depression. Let's say you retired in 1928 or 1929 or 1935 or 1946, and then gamed out what the market did, and you taking a 4% of your first year. Okay, so let's use $1 million as an example. 4% of your first year, you did 40,000. Then you take that 40,000 and you ratchet that up for whatever inflation is every single year over time. So imagine over 20 and 30 years, your 40,000 turns into 80. What are the results of that? What's your typical, how long does money last? Well, we're going to talk about that when Money Matters returns. What's the 4% rule dictate? How many years does money last on average? We're going to give you some probabilities and we got a prize pack. So a lot left here for the remaining Money Matters. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio, Sunday morning. And as we wrap up the 4% rule, and we'll probably spend more time on this next week, but we really needed to update the data because Bengen did this and published it back in 1991. So then we took the data from 1991 until effectively 2017 and updated this same study. And to ask, how long does money last? Bengen said, how long does it take for money to run out? And does it last 50 years? Well, the answer is, and this is in our scenario, money still lasts. If you're using 4% from year one, then you take that dollar amount, you ratchet it up for inflation, still 70% of the time, your money still lasts 50 years or more, provided you're using a balanced allocation, 50% in stocks, 50% bonds, another big part of the equation. Now, 30% of the time, that means it does run out. You do run out before 50 years. The good news is the worst case scenario is that money doesn't run out for at least 29 years. So you're talking about money lasts almost three full decades if you understand the 4% rule and you stick to the 4% rule. 4%, dollar amount, ratchet up for inflation, 50% equities, 50% fixed income or bonds, and rebalance and rebalance and rebalance every single year. So many pieces of the equation to get right, but the great news is it lasts 30 years, three decades in a worst case scenario. And in many cases, the money survives 50 years or more. That's the 4% rule. Ryan Ealy, we have a prize pack, my friend.
We sure do. The weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Styx with special guest 38 Special on Sunday, May 26th at State Bank Amphitheater at Chastain Park. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. Caller number 4. The tickets are yours.
And when it comes to running out of money, this the real data about outliving your retirement savings, and this was a EBRI, which I think is the Employee Benefit Research Institute, basically looked and said, if you had less than 200 grand saved or between 200 and 500 or more than 500, how many of those folks run out of money over time? And the reality here is that in the lowest group, the 200,000 or less, within the first 18 years of retirement, the median in the group only spent down about a quarter of their assets. The 200,000 to 500,000 group, that's what they had in retirement, had spent down only about 27% of their money. And folks with over 500,000 had spent even less, about 11.8% during the first 20 years of retirement. So the reality here is that You adjust to what markets do. You adjust your spending. You understand the 4% rule, and then you're flexible, and you understand that spending down your money is a dynamic process that you got to do a little planning for, and then you won't run out of money. We had so many great calls today. Thank you for listening to Money Matters. You can find me and the team at yourwealth.com, Y-O-U-R, wealth, yourwealth.com. The emails come straight to me. There's a contact tab upper right-hand corner. Happy to talk with you throughout the week and get into this, get into more detail and help. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.